My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
That was almost a disastrous evening.
No.
Oh, yeah.
No.
Oh, hell yeah. That wasn't almost a disastrous evening to you? You gotta get in. Let's go.
It's usual,
time to get day by day with the Guardians.
I have a ton of faith in this team.
No, because that's just, to me, you're giving yourself an excuse just to not watch baseball. And I'm going to accuse you of it. I'm going to accuse you of not watching baseball. I'm going to accuse you of not doing your job right now. 216-474-0092. If you are saying you're not game by game every day with the Guardians, you're in a big amount of trouble.
Well, no, I think that outlook
is... August 13th. What are you waiting on?
I feel like that is an outlook that is impossible for 162. And
not 162. I'm saying it's August 13th. When I was day by day in early July, I could understand you going, yeah, no, it's August 13th, Tony. It's time. If you're not in now, you're not going to be in.
43 games left.
That's not that many. That's a month of baseball. You're only 3.5
that's
up.
Three football seasons.
That's three football seasons, but you spread that out. There's 43 games left.
2027. The Dome will still be a year and a half away, though.
We're not doing that yet. According to Chris Ronayne, who was on, I mean, just doing the media car wash in Cleveland, we are not getting a Dome. People like it on the lakefront. We'll talk about that.
I was absolutely loving last night. I was absolutely loving.
You loved last night.
Oh, big Christmas. Ken Carmen, can you
I'm not
fathom.
Big Christmas in that it is Ken. John Kenzie Noel
well,
who's
a comma.
Big Christmas.
There was a comma in between. Like, big Christmas, comma, Ken Carmen, can you believe how he golfed that ball out of there into the home run porch? That was sensational.
He's got
and
power.
And when are people going to wake up and start to realize that there is the SP word associated with this team?
What's that?
Special.
Oh.
When are people going to wake up?
When you got to the SP, I'm like, what's starting pitcher word?
Special. That this team is special. I asked you again. I think I ask you once a week. Do people realize that this team could be going to the World Series? And do people realize we could be celebrating a World Series championship?
Because of the starting pitching, I think a lot of people go, yeah, they could go to the World Series or they could bounce on the wild card round.
Okay. Who can't you say that about? What other team in the American League?
Hold on here. Let me look.
You don't have to look. I don't know. I'll save you the look.
The Orioles got a pretty good rotation.
To their
Mariners. The Mariners have a pretty good rotation. Point that. Got to point that out to
you.
I
think if you are doing sports talk radio in those cities, they're also worried
about
their
rotation. I don't care about sports talk radio in those cities. You think they're as concerned with their starting rotation as we are?
I think these teams
are all... Stop embarrassing yourself.
I think these teams are all very nervous about what they're going to look like in the playoffs.
I don't know. I think
that's all of these teams. This is not...
Guys, I'm happy they won, but
I think people are thinking of the Yankees in the late 90s, early 2000s. Like, those teams don't exist right now. This team can absolutely go to the World Series. That's why I didn't panic when they lost. I wasn't happy,
I didn't panic
when they lost seven in a row.
You don't get worked up about any of the stuff or anything?
They
had a four-run inning and a three-run inning. You weren't like, oh, my God.
Typically, the cool thing about baseball is you got nine innings, and you've got plenty of time to make up for a bad inning. That's the beauty of baseball, Kenny.
Okay, never mind. Just won't get into it. Everything's hunky-dory. Everything's fine. Everything's perfectly fine.
To answer your question, no, I'm not going to watch them like they're the Browns and live and die by every decision, every game right now.
I think you should.
Because
I'm having more fun doing that.
That is so short-sighted for a team that is 70-49, and Ken wants to live and die. Not even game by game. I think you want to live and die inning by inning.
Okay, hey, they're 70-49, but they're still only 3.5 games up in the division. So I could sit there and yell record all day long, but if a team's close enough to you in the record, I guess that doesn't really matter now, does it?
I'm so confused what this tact is that you're taking with me.
But if you're saying that you weren't hooked onto the game and you were nothing was bothering you yesterday, I kind of wonder. I don't know. I get 2 out of 3 ain't bad, I guess. Maybe you're just not a baseball guy. I don't know.
Yeah, if they win 2 out of 3 the rest of the year,
I'll be
more confident that they'll be going to the World Series.
Browns, Cavs, there you go. But if you weren't...
if you want to say 9 out of 10.
So you were just fine when it got 8.
70 and...
This is an insult to their intelligence.
I think...
Yes, it is.
I think your way of watching the Guardians is just... I think I'd have a heart attack.
So when they were 8-8...
When they get
to
the playoffs, I'll watch the games like that. Sure.
Yeah, when they get to the playoffs, maybe you'll tune in. I don't know else you're looking at. Maybe you're just kind of seeing whatever else.
Where they are heading. People are wondering about a collapse. There is no collapse. In fact, they're going the other way. They, like all the other teams, had a terrible week stretch. They happen to lose every one of those games, and yet here they are still this juncture of the season.
I don't understand the conversation I'm having with you.
I don't either, because it seems like you're treating them like
the maniac to Cleveland Guardians. It was a fun win. I'm glad that Emmanuel Clase came out and got the save.
Are you guys detecting fun from Ken Carmon this morning?
It was 8-3 at one point, and then they gave up a lead in a nine-inning baseball game.
How will we ever be able to cope?
A five-run lead.
Where do we
idiot.
Go from here?
What are you talking about?
Should we get a new manager? What do we do? Can we get Tito here for the stretch run? Would that make Kenny feel better?
Okay, you just keep saying things into the ether, and people are just going to believe you to get me worked up.
Does Ken sound like he's having fun with the Cleveland Guardians?
It does not sound like Ken Carmon
Mitch,
is having
does
fun.
Does it sound?
I'm having fun with the
like
Cleveland Guardians.
You Ken sound like a hostage
fun.
Right
he's
now.
He's having something. It's not fun.
I'm not asking Mitch's opinion. He's got some crisis of whatever. You have an identity crisis unlike I've ever seen in sports with you right now.
Does it sound like Mitch is having fun with the New York Yankees?
Half listening to your conversation yesterday and something about buying a Pirates hat or something like that and people telling to save it, and then I asked what was going on. Nobody would tell me. I don't know what you are in there, but you ain't a Guardians fan.
Oh, I don't want to save it. He wants to save it.
I don't take honestly, your word means nothing about the issue right now, Mitch.
He has seen 140 wins this year. 70 from the Yankees, 70 from the Guardians. He's seen like 80% of the wins
in
baseball.
Now, that Yankees game last night when they lost to the White Sox.
Oh, how embarrassing. What's Schrift got to say about
it? I'm half embarrassed.
So you weren't...
Stand up.
At all. You weren't concerned at all when it was 8-8 after it was 8-3.
Okay, maybe a little concerned
at 8-8.
Okay,
I was ready to call you a liar.
Maybe a little concerned at 8-8.
I think you're full of it.
But, well, what do you think I'm full of?
Something I can't say on the air.
Look, they had obviously worked that bullpen with the way the schedule was the last few days. They still end up going through how many pitchers, and it wasn't exactly your murderer's row of pitchers, but they get to the point again where they just needed Clase to come in and take care of things. He did again. An insane season, his 36th save of the year. I'm pretty excited.
He should be the
What'd you think of your boy Naylor coming through with the infield in?
I thought that that was one of the... Can I use the term fun, or are you going to chop my
head
off?
No, no, come on.
I thought it was one of the best hits I've seen in quite a while. It looks so old style, like 1930s baseball, like this high chop over the third baseline, or over the third baseman, down the third baseline. I loved it. I thought that that was beautiful. Jose Ramirez bailing us out again, because he's the MVP. At least our team MVP. I'm sure he won't get in the national scope, but he's our team MVP. And to be able to get the run that we needed in the bottom of the eighth, and then we didn't have to get upset. I wanted to come in and defend Stephen Vogt this morning.
From what? Well, who does he need defended from?
Oh, for even looking in Scott Barlow's direction, in his general direction. You can't... He's got to go to some guys. If you look at where they're at with their usage... You can't just keep using the same pitchers over and over and over again. I know that people don't have a lot of confidence in Nick Sandlin or Scott Barlow or maybe even Tim Herron, I would say, with both of those guys. You kind of got to go in those directions because the guys that you've used, I mean, it's still very difficult to put them out there every single night because now you have to start thinking about, you know, September's right around the corner, and that'll be the final month of the season. There's about 5 weeks left to go in the season, and then you have to think about October. So I think their usage, if I'm not mistaken, their bullpen usage is... And this is where I have to... I cannot plant my flag and say I'm 100% right. Because if I look at where they're at this year, we've been saying all year, starting pitchers are going shorter and shorter than they've ever gone. So that would mean that their bullpen guys, their relievers are going to go longer than they ever have before. So you got guys in your bullpen right now that their usage rates are higher than they've ever been. Part of that is natural because your starting rotation has gone shorter than they ever have. You don't have a Shane Bieber out there anymore to go 8 innings or at least 7 innings on at least twice a week to help out your usage. So now you have your usage. That's why we make a big deal if Carlos Carrasco is able to work until the sixth. We make a big deal if any of them is able to work through 6 innings. Tanner Bibee going 100 pitches. It's a big deal because you don't want to use all those guys in your bullpen up. And your bullpen has still been pretty good. Your ERA over the last 3 innings of the game have been fantastic. Your bullpen has still been pretty good. Even though there's guys like Scott Barlow that a lot of people... get very upset when they see him go out there on the field. So I don't want to just rip Vogt for no reason, and I don't want to sit there and turn a blind eye to everything that Vogt has done. Again, we had the David Fry fiasco that happened the other night, whether or not he bunted on his own or he was told to bunt. I can't believe David Fry would just go up there and bunt on his own. But maybe I'm wrong. I that's all hearsay. I never got a straight answer out of it, so I don't even know. Okay, but this coming time around here, and the last few weeks have been a little bit, he's been pressing the wrong buttons for the Guardians. Now, they've won 3 in a row, so I don't want to sit there and go crazy against the guy, but I do have an explanation, not an excuse, an explanation about the bullpen. So I wanted to defend Stephen Vogt, and then I wanted to accuse you of not being all in, and then I ended up getting killed because you're trying to call me a negative person.
Dave, you want
over
look,
the if, 70 and 49 if, Guardians, when again, you're only 3.5 games up over the second place team.
If there are things that you certainly wonder about, like Lane Thomas has not been good.
He has been poop.
I mean, it has been really bad, and
he
that
has
was
been platoon.
Oh yeah,
style. That's an insult to platoon players. I've liked platoon players in the past. He's been garbage. Maybe it's the National League, American League thing, even though they both have the DH now, so I don't...
Not to mention, I mean, David Fry's batting like 170 this month. So he's totally bottomed out, even though he still has managed to have some moments.
Yeah.
They're not a perfect team. I think part of the reason that I am coming... with this mindset where I'm just trying to have fun with them. I know they're not a perfect team. I know they're not even close. It's because I just don't think the American League, I keep looking at their competition and I'm like, this thing is open. And I know those teams probably say the same thing about us.
Yes. It is open.
I do think it's just that way. It's a weird year in baseball. And hopefully they can go on an amazing run and take advantage of it. There is one thing pretty clear, though. I mean, even after as bad of a calendar week as they had, where they lose seven in a row and it looked like this thing could go off the rails, they still clearly, you just tell body language, you could just see it from their emotions, from the way they are approaching every game, no matter who they are going up against at this point. They have a confidence.
Well, you
they
have the
really
right.
Do. I think that's in there.
As much as I hate it, because I still think it's a cover all for everything, and I can't stand it. But I think that your idea, if you choose to be glass half full, I think is probably right, because no one wants to be overwhelmingly pessimistic about everything. Whereas if it's wide open, I don't have a firm grip. I want to have a firm grip on what I think my team can do in the postseason. So I don't want it to be wide open. I want it to be the Guardians and everybody else. But if it's wide open, it's like, all right, if we hit at the right time, then things can change and they can go in our favor. But I do think that when things are wide open, there tends to be not as much control, which I think scares me, because I'm not in control of my destiny. And it does feel right now that we're not in control of our destiny. But I think there's plenty of teams in the American League who feel that they're not in control of their destiny. So, fine.
I totally get fine. That. I mean, but there were some of the most expensive rosters in baseball history, the Dodgers, and did their fans feel confident in every playoffs that they go into? No, I just think that is this sport. So if I were more of a diehard, if I were somebody as plugged in and watching all the whatever, maybe that would be where I'd be coming from.
You realize something? They get good attendance out there at that ballpark. Have you ever met a Dodgers fan in real life? I haven't. Think about that. They get good attendance out there at that stadium. I've not. Well, unless Mitch has decided to be a Dodgers fan, he's gone through Dodgers
phase. Give him till the end of the show.
Are you a Dodgers fan now?
I got a few hats in the cart already.
Of course you have. What was the whole thing with the Pirates hat?
I bought a Pirates hat the other day because I'm going to a game in 2 weeks, and I wanted a Pirates hat just in general.
You're going to a Pirates game, so you bought a Pirates hat?
Yes. They're not playing Cleveland.
Kenny, remember we bought those Cubs hats when we walked into Wrigley?
No, we didn't.
We didn't. We're not Cubs fans.
Yeah. Didn't buy a Cubs hat. Huh. You wonder why you can't find somebody to settle down with. They can't trust you.
You know, Mitch, coming up, they let you in the stadium with any hat. It doesn't have to be a Pittsburgh hat.
Now the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima give their thoughts on what you might have missed about last night.
All right, we had a wild one last night over at Progressive. Guardians getting out to that lead after the bomb in the fourth, adding more on in the fifth. However, that seventh inning was a struggle. And that, I think, is where Ken Carmen was starting to get a little nervous. You know me, never in doubt with my Gardos. Four runs there by the Cubs to make this a nip and tuck.
And see, this is... It's impossible to talk Guardians baseball now with you.
Why is that, Ken?
Because all he has to do is say everything's great and everything's hunky-dory, and then there's no conversation. Everything's fine. Everything's fine, Guardians.
Well, see,
everything's fine. Everything's just fine. Everything's fine. They gave up five runs. They gave up a five-run lead. Everything's fine.
I would have rather given up less. I'll admit.
What type of conversation is that? What type of statement was that?
I like that they finished
up. I would have rather them given up less.
More runs than they gave up. I think that's the important thing. They gave up eight, but they scored nine. They have 70 wins on the year. Stephen Vogt talked about giving up that lead, but staying resilient.
We're proving to ourselves we can win a number of different ways. And one of the first times all year we've been punched back like that late in the game. And for our guys to respond and put runs up late, that's huge.
Showing that they can do it any which way, Kenny. And that is why I have such confidence in this team.
Great.
So you clearly don't have the same type of confidence that me and my buddy Vogt
have. Great. I said great. I didn't say I didn't have confidence in the team. You ascribed that to me. I did not. Great. It's just impossible. I might as well be talking Guardians with a brick wall. This is dumb.
Another long ball from Stephen Kwan.
Stephen Kwan's a great player.
Hell yeah, he is.
Don't be cussing.
I do have my concern. Lane Thomas.
You do?
It has not been pretty.
That's easy.
I'm very worried about Lane Thomas.
That's as easy as it gets. They acquired Lane Thomas, and he hasn't been very good.
But how many guys had...
What a safe comment.
How many guys have they had batting second this year?
I don't know, Lama. You tell me. You're a big baseball
43?
Guy.
43? Four or five, yeah.
It seems like they've had so many different combinations. And so they get through it. Like, he is struggling. It's really bad. 0 for last night. He has not endeared himself to the fans, who, especially those that wanted way more at the deadline. But at the same time, like, they always seem to work their way through it this year.
Just angry with you right now. Not angry with the Guardians, just angry with you.
You don't sound thrilled with the Guardians.
I'm documenting all these games. Well, it's not that I'm not thrilled with them. I actually, on my way home, so I checked the score last night as I was at football practice. And they're up 8-3. I'm like, man. I'm driving home. I swear to God, it's a 3-minute drive from the field to my house. And I'm going, this team, man. They lose 7 in a row. People are freaking out. Here they are again. Going to be 3 in a row, beating the Cubbies. Great. Get home, shower, 8-7. And I'm going, man, here we go.
And my dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
If your day sounds like...
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
So that's frustrating when you're just like, everything's hunky-dory. They still won. I don't want them to lose. I'm just hanging on every single pitch. And it's because I'm hanging on every single pitch, and some people drop in, I'm the one who's supposed to be negative about it when I'm not.
Well, let me ask you. So I have wondered, and it's been like a month we've been talking about watching these games like they're Browns games. But the problem is, if the Browns get a win, because the schedule is so short, every win is truly life or death.
Yeah.
We don't pick apart the wins in the same way that I feel like you're picking apart the Guardians' wins. Like, we wouldn't say, man, Deshaun Watson had a rough stretch in that second quarter.
Because I've paid attention to
him. Doesn't that worry you, Anthony?
Because I've watched more pitches of Guardians baseball than I have in the last couple of years. that means now I'm starting to figure out, or I'm trying to figure out in the back of my mind, what they're going to do in September and October. So as I figure that out, because again, we're only 3.5 games up in the division. I cannot stress that enough. We're only 3 games up in the division. Because of that, I have to try to foresee the future here. Because yeah, 70-49 looks really good. 70-49 would look really good if the second place team was 55-46.
So it's just the fact that the Twins are not going away.
The Twins aren't really going away, and neither are the Royals. I know they're 5 back, but you know they're still 19 games up on 500. They're still doing okay.
Were we rooting for the Royals, Mitch? You're up on this stuff. You're up on, you know, the permutations. And Owen, you're Mr. Strength of Schedule czar. I mean, you've been that throughout the year.
Right now, the Cleveland Guardians have the 7th toughest strength of schedule remaining.
So it gets easier. Every day feels like it's getting a little easier. Were we rooting for the Kansas City Royals in this series or the Twins? I did have some chatter on one of my threads. The one thread that wasn't hijacked by another Cleveland news story yesterday. Go ahead, Mitch.
I think you want to go with Twins because that essentially knocks Kansas City further back in the race, especially because you have the Royals coming into town in a couple of weeks.
But only if you win.
Only if you win. Yeah.
You got a Royals hat?
I own a Bo Jackson throwback jersey.
Okay.
Oh, now he's going to try to claim Bo Jackson as his favorite there football player ever. Right. Either way.
7:45.
We're getting closer. The Cleveland Browns with their dual scrimmage this week against the Minnesota Vikings.
We're starting Wednesday.
But
we got a date Wednesday, baby.
We were wondering if we'd get some intel on when we would ever see Deshaun Watson as the starting quarterback of the Browns again. Mary Kay asked the question to Kevin Stefanski. We've all been wondering.
Can you share if you will play Deshaun in that third and final?
Yeah, that's the plan. Yep.
We will see him against the Seattle Seahawks.
Sounded like the crowd was cheering when he said that, too. It's good.
In the distance. So, Kenny, I know we're going to talk about this a little bit later on. Most people I've talked to this year, it's been different in different seasons. Most people I've talked to, they wanted to see him at some point in the preseason.
Yeah, I want
to
see
him. And they were very excited to hear that yesterday.
I want to see him at some point in the preseason. I'll tell you why coming up at 6:40 on the Fan.
Now, maybe, depending on how you feel about how tenuous their offensive line depth is, they sprung into action, or had to spring into action, because Whipler got injured. Is he out for the year, by the way, that ankle?
I would imagine the bulk of the series, bulk of the year.
Sunday, Stefanski talked he would not confirm out for the year, but he did confirm surgery and would not put a timetable on
it. So obviously, they were really quick getting their work in. I'll get your comment, Kenny, in a second, on that offensive line and their depth right now at this stage of camp. But Stefanski really was pleased with Andrew Berry doing what he had to do immediately.
Andrew worked pretty quickly on that one and get a guy in here that, as coaches, we know well. Obviously, his teammates know him well, and we'll get him up to speed on some of the new things.
Talking, of course, about Nick Harris, who they had a very versatile role for him. I think a lot of the old school football people like Kenny,
they liked
sitting
him
across from me, loved when Nick Harris would come into the game.
The fullback, Nick Harris?
They certainly liked him. Obviously, if they're willing to put him out there and have him play fullback, so he's clearly a good athlete. And then they can use him. See, what this is going to do when they bring in Nick Harris is this probably takes care of two different positions for them. This helps them out with some depth at the corner or the center position if they want. And also, they got, Giovanni Ricci, who is playing their technically their fullback spot. I know he's listed as a tight end if you go to like our lads or something, but he's a fullback in a lot of ways, so that probably takes care of that position too. So you kind of get two birds stoned at once. If you have Nick Harris as your backup center and then you have Ethan Posick as your starter, you hope Ethan Posick don't go down, because then you can continue to use Nick Harris. But if Ethan Posick were to go down, well then yeah, you would probably have to go out and sign some sort of a fullback, which, you know, maybe that was going to be the case anyway because Nick Harris would play center. So hopefully that doesn't happen and you can use Nick Harris in a dual role.
Still confident in this offensive line? Like, I heard Ross Tucker
I'm not sure
last week call into the afternoon show and he's like, oh, they still have one of the best, if not the best offensive line in football.
They still have the ingredients for a really good offensive line. I'm just still not sure. They didn't do anything. I saw Wyatt Teller and Ethan Posick play in the preseason game against the Packers, and obviously they didn't do anything that I would feel that was terrible. James Hudson didn't do anything that I feel that was terrible. As a swing tackle, I think they're trying to get him to fill that Chris Hubbard spot as a guy who's like, all right, we got to plug him and play him, and then we can use him in extra tight end roles, things like that. Zach Zinter, you know, the one penalty that negated the touchdown, he's new. They'll figure that out. And DeJuan Jones was still fantastic. So no big issue there.
All right, that's it for About Last Night.
Outstanding. Hey, guess what?
What up?
Don't do that anymore.
Don't do that ever again. Or do it every day for the rest of my life. One of the two.
Start every segment.
Kevin Stefanski was asked when Deshaun Watson will play. Survey said.
Can you share if you will play Deshaun in that third and final?
Yeah, that's the plan.
Going to play him against Seattle. Third preseason game of the year. It used to be when you had four preseason games, no one would play the final preseason game. Now a lot of starters are playing the third preseason game. You got that extra week in between, and there's only three preseason games now, so they want to put him in game spots. So that, you know what, that might be the game they're looking at. And I want to, don't quote me on this, because I went to camp yesterday and Jed Wills was not in pads or anything like that. I haven't seen him at all. But maybe that's when he's going to play? Because do you want to put him out there with James Hudson, a left tackle? Not sure. Is that amenable to anybody? I don't think it really is.
I think you'd want the full complement of the offensive line.
Yeah,
that's always the dicey question whenever we talk about the QB and their situation. And how many teams have their healthy starting five offensive linemen?
If Jim Wills ain't ready to go, 2 weeks, no training camp reps, no preseason reps, and you're going to throw him in the fire against Dallas. I guess it's part of the job. It's contract year. So maybe it's like, well, if James Hudson is going to start at left tackle in week one, first off, smoke him if you got him. Second of all, like, well, he's going to have to get used to it at some point. Yeah. So away we go. So then you just start, and I don't want to be so dour about it. It's like, well, take your pick. Do you want him to get hurt in the regular season, or do you want him to get hurt in the preseason? That's no good. But maybe that's when they're kind of expecting Jedrick Wills to come back and be ready to go. Or I'm not necessarily sure how the pup list works with him. So I don't want to be quoted all the way through and see where it figures out with Jed Wills here. So I think that they got themselves a decision. And I think that they're going to have to figure that out about what they really want Deshaun Watson to prove to them. What can Deshaun Watson prove to you in the final preseason game? Because I think it's different, and I'm going to hate the conversation leading up to next Saturday. I think a lot of people are going to want him to prove that he can still whip the ball all over the place. You have less attendance than you've had because you only have so many open dates to training camp. You've only seen so many clips and videos. I think this has been such a muted training camp where very few people have seen anything. It's almost like a spring training. It's almost like an old spring training because now you can see spring training games on TV. So you can at least see the Guardians on TV a handful of times and kind of get a sense of who would be there. Now you got one preseason game that's on TV. Then you get another. But you're going to get like one glimpse of Deshaun Watson, and it's probably going to be short, and that's going to be it. And a lot of people are going to make their mind up about how they feel about him going into the season based on next Saturday night. Whether that's fair or not, doesn't matter. They're going
to
do it.
I'm telling you right now, I'm promising not to do that. As much as it's juicy,
but you might have to do it to combat those who will. Because if he goes out and he plays poorly on that Saturday, you know how Monday morning is going to be. If he goes out there and plays well, then let me ask you this. On the other side, let's say he goes out there and he plays well. Are you going to stop people from shouting Super Bowl Super Browns on Monday morning?
No, I'm not. I'm not because, you know, part of it is. I understand.
So we go ahead and we pick and choose what we want to say about the Browns.
That is in this case just because. I think I can't blame fans for trying to sink your teeth into anything that's positive in training camp. What
training camp's kind of
for. How else would you want to go into the season? I mean, to me, there should be excitement about a team that made the playoffs last year with all the injuries at critical positions. Like, no matter what, there should be plenty of excitement surrounding that. The other part of it is, like, there should be some rust. There should be some bumps in the road for a starting quarterback coming off surgery. I expect there to be. And so if he doesn't show that in the preseason and actually looks really good, well, then why wouldn't you get excited? Like, what? It'd almost be like, hey, we should have to provide any kind of hesitation, pump the brakes any which way we can. For what? I mean, it's a long season. how Deshaun Watson looks in week one.
Yeah.
I don't expect that to be how he looks if he's healthy in week five or week eight or week 10, if he's able to stay healthy. So I say get excited about it. And if he looks bad, like, yeah, they have a new offense. There are going to be some miscues. We saw miscues with Deshaun and just some of their plays. You know, he's only had 12 starts, right? And really 11 because the Indy game gets thrown out. That's just not enough time to see any kind of consistent football.
So what can he prove to you other than, you know, those?
I'd like to see a little bit of it would be really nice, even though you know it's going to be vanilla, a mastery, so to speak, of the stuff he's been asked to do. That would be nice because it's got to be really hard to start and stop and start and stop. And today's your day to throw. Now we need a day off. All right, you can do mental reps all you want. I mean, Jameis Winston could talk about those reps as much as you want to. It's not the same thing until you're actually out there being able to throw with guys bearing down on you, which is what he's going to get, you know, starting tomorrow in the scrimmage situation, the joint practice.
216-474-0092. My expectation or my goal, I guess I would say, for that Seattle game, just show you can throw the football. In so many words, and I'm not saying it to me, I'm saying it to everybody else, because there have been conflicting things. You know, Zach has been, and Zach will tell you, he's just telling the truth the way he sees it. Okay, you know, Zach has been a little up and down on what Deshaun Watson has done. He says there's days where he's like clunking it around, and then he says there's days where he looks really good. Well, I hope that this is one of those days where he looks really good.
And by the way, I've seen our Cincinnati cohorts, Joe Burrow's had good and bad days. I mean, yeah. Welcome to training camp.
Yeah.
That's how it's going to be for everybody.
Yeah, this is the time for you to get those out is during training camp there. Like, I saw him yesterday. I didn't see anything that looked like a duck. I didn't see anything that looked like something that you would be worried about. The passes were the passes, and that's the way it was. And he let one fly, let a couple fly in front of me, if I'm not mistaken. So I didn't think that those were a big issue. What can he actually prove, though, is that we are in such a pensive mode here. It's year three. It's really a put up or shut up year. Now, they might try to find some excuse for him at the end of the year based on the investment. Maybe they will if he doesn't do well. I don't want them to get to that level. I want him to do well. So if he does do well, I'll fully admit, if he does do well, and I'm glad I asked you and you gave that answer, I'll probably be pretty excited. I'll probably be pretty Super Bowl, Super Browns, over the moon, and worked up over it if he plays well. If he plays poorly, I know me and you know me, and I'm going to go, well, it's a preseason. At least he didn't get hurt, and he got some work in and knocked off some of the rust, and away we go.
Nervous. Sure.
I know me. And you listeners know me. You know how I am.
I'm not going to sugarcoat that part of it. But
you got to tell me whether or not I'm denying the truth, though, when I say something like that.
No, I will be nervous if he looks terrible. Remember, what was it, his very first preseason game with the Browns when we knew he was going to be suspended?
It was bad. Listless.
And even the few that he did actually make nice throws on, I think were dropped. I think that was the Anthony Schwartz game that we'll always
call
remember.
Call them all fiascos with Anthony Schwartz. Yeah. Thank you.
So I'll be nervous. I'm not going to be, you know, extremely confident going into the Dallas game if Watson looks terrible, but I'm also not going to write off the season and say that's it. Like, I do expect some semblance of rust because, A, he's always rusty when he starts out. He was that when he was a prodigy and looking like a top-five quarterback. Mm-hmm. He still had his struggles early on.
And I also want to see what he does with some of the starting wide receivers that he's going to throw to, because Ken Dorsey, it's been said and it's been shown, that they get slot receivers involved very nicely. His offense gets them involved very nicely. And I know it's his concepts with Kevin calling the plays. And who knows what they're actually going to show you in the final preseason game before Dallas in week one. That's all true and fair. But I still want to see what if there's anything I can take from him getting certain receivers involved and what he does just as far as how comfortable he looks. Because if there's nothing very exotic, and there might be a couple of blitzes here and there because it is the third preseason game of the year and it's the final tune-up, right? I want to see how comfortable he looks. I want to see how confident he looks back there. If he doesn't look like that, if there's a little bit of a deer in the headlights there, then I might be a little bit nervous. But I know me. And again, I know I'm an emotional guy. And if he goes out there and he goes 6 of 8 with a touchdown to David Njoku or Zaire Mitchell-Payton or whoever, I'm going to be pretty optimistic for the way this season goes. I know that in the back of my mind, And there will be plenty of people calling and saying, Ken, it's just preseason. Okay, because, you know, he has detractors. But I think I'm going to I know I'm going to get pretty excited about what it is. If he doesn't do it, I'm going to want to deny the truth. I think it's going to be batting down the hatches. I think if he doesn't do well, I think you're going to get some real heat coming in on that Monday morning. I don't know if it's going to last 2 weeks, but you're going to get some real heat coming in that Monday morning with some people because they are sick and tired of the talk. They are sick and tired of being told. I mean, it's almost like a friend owes you money, and you keep getting told, wait till next payday. And I think people are getting sick and tired of hearing that, and they really want to get paid off on this investment, and they want to see him play well.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges. And acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.